How do you do? A unique characteristic of Thailand is the spirit house, a miniature house, like a birdhouse sitting prominently on the property of homes and businesses. Many people believe that spirits live there, protecting residents if the spirits are appeased with gifts. The Thai woman in this story needed protection as she grew up in Bangkok, and security came from an unexpected source when her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Child, never forget that we are high class, not commoner. But you are the only child who didn't receive Buddha's blessing from the monk when you were born. So you are not protected by our ancestor. You need help. Many bad things happen to you. First, the cobra bite you and you almost die. Then the cat scratch gets infected and you almost die. You have no protection from bad spirits, so I'm tying this little idol around your neck to shield you. Always keep this with you. Never part with it, especially at night.
This is Unshackled, the award-winning series of true life stories dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Hunger is the unrelenting companion of most homeless people, hunger that drives them to search in dumpsters for some morsel to eat. That's why Pacific Garden Mission keeps the doors open day and night, welcoming hundreds of men, women, and children who have nowhere else to turn. Thanks to friends who send financial gifts, the mission provides nourishing meals, fresh clothing, and a safe place to sleep to these people. The mission even offers medical and dental care to resident guests, all without charge. Pastors and counselors share the good news that some have never heard, the good news that can change their lives forever. Those who have ears to hear shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3197 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Pat! Why you always spit on me?
You've brought misfortune to us. You're the only one of us who didn't have a blessing when you were born.
Ah! Stop hitting me, Chai! Stop it!
You didn't obey me. You're nothing but a liar and a thief. It's all you'll ever be.
You're wrong!
You're cursed.
I am not. Grandma gave me this idol to protect me.
It's too late for that, you scrawny, ugly thing.
You'll never be anything in life. Never.
How to reconcile the pride of ancestry with the reality of poverty. The woman in our story was 12 years old when reconciliation came, but many battles lay ahead. This is the true testimony of Mem Luton right now on Unshackled.
Because my father's first wife couldn't have children, he took a second wife, my mother, who bore him 7 children. I was the youngest. My father was a wealthy man, but the first wife eventually evicted Ma'a from the house. Then she persuaded my father to spend a year in a Buddhist monastery. While he was gone, his wife took all his money and disappeared. Having lost everything, my father lost his mind. Ma'a and I went to live with my grandmother in her jungle home. When I was 9, we moved to Bangkok, where my older siblings worked. Ma'a had no idea how to manage a family, so she deferred to my older sister, Kali.
Ma'a has to leave before dawn to sell clothes in the market, so you'll get up at 5:30, ma'am. You big enough to fix your own breakfast. Get to the bus stop by 6:30 or you'll be late for school, understand? Don't get the wrong bus. And don't talk with anyone along the way. There are bad people everywhere, so come home straight after school.
My grades were good in school, but I resented my sister's strict discipline. However, Bangkok was notorious for abductions of little girls, and I went to a Buddhist temple school that didn't provide transportation, so it was 5 or 6 in the evening before I got home again. I learned to lie to survive, pretending that a street vendor was my father if a stranger asked, Because of his mental problems, my father didn't live with us. My 12th year was momentous. First, my father died.
Why do you weep, ma'am? You hardly know him.
I never know him now, Ma'a.
He helped deliver you because there was no one else around. He just happened to come by. The midwife said later it was lucky we both didn't die. He did such a bad job.
I only saw him one other time in my life, when I first came to Bangkok, and he called out to me on the street. He recognized me and gave me a fried banana.
That evil wife destroyed him and our family.
Ma'a, how did you meet Pa?
I was a seamstress at his school. I was 19 and in love with a man who wanted to marry me.
Why didn't you?
I could not bring shame by leaving your father after our son was born, so I stayed.
I never marry a man I don't love. There was a constant screaming and bickering in our home. My brother Chai and sister Kali beat me for any infraction of their rules, and my other sister Pat was unstable. One year I lied and told the family I had won the school championship in academics. Then I pilfered some school stationery and forged a letter to my family to complete the fraud. I lied again, saying I would be on TV for the finals, and then I added more lies when they watched TV and failed to see the program. I convinced them the producer decided not to air the show. How miserable I was. In spite of being the second smallest girl in my class at school, I was a fighter. My brother Chai, who was 5 years older than I, taught me Thai kickboxing, drilling me relentlessly.
Ow! That hurt!
Never show pain. You must be tough, ma'am.
Why do you do that, Chai?
You weren't concentrating on a lesson. You must focus. Now, walk on this bamboo stick, and if you stumble, I will punish you. Go on, walk! That's it. Faster. I warned you, ma'am. Don't cry. Crying is for the weak.
By the time I was 12, I was the toughest kid in my class. All my friends were boys because I could play their games, and I never refused a challenge. I accepted and won every dare, like walking barefoot on top of walls studded with cut glass. Yet, I often cried myself to sleep at night because of the emptiness in my heart. My brother Chai began abusing me, so I slept with a knife under my pillow. The year I was 12, my sister Kali married an American and moved to California. She came home completely changed.
I have good news for you.
I'm so relieved to see you, Kali. I was afraid you'd be sold.
Those who follow Jesus Christ are free, Ma'a.
Who is Jesus Christ?
He's the Son of God, the only God, the one who created all things.
I never heard of him.
God sent Jesus into the world 2,000 years ago, and he gave his life for our sin. Think of it. We sacrifice constantly to our gods. But the truth is, God sacrificed himself to pay for our sin. And the good news is, he rose from the dead and lives today. He wants to give you eternal life in heaven.
How do you know these things?
God not only gave us his son, but he also gave us his written word. This is the Holy Bible. The book that tells us about Jesus and God's plan for everyone. That's how I know these things. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Would you like to do that?
Yes. We all prayed that day, asking Jesus to save us and come into our lives. Unfortunately, nothing was said about the importance of repentance and living our lives in obedience to the Word of God by the power of His Spirit. I knew I wanted eternal life, a loving Heavenly Father, and a way to avoid hell. But I would learn the hard way that repentance and being conformed to God's ways by His Word was also essential. However, my brother Ta took some decisive action that declared our freedom from the enemy of our souls.
Well, no more spirit house.
What are you doing, Ta?
We won't need this anymore, Ma'a.
Please, please, leave it alone. Ta, you don't know what these spirits can do. They are vicious.
Either we believe that God is all-powerful, or we don't, Ma'a.
Then I shall throw away this little idol Grandmother gave me so long ago.
We lived with Kali and her husband in the ministry center they established, and they taught us the Bible and insisted that we ask forgiveness when we hurt others. I was ostracized from my faith at my school, so my sister pulled me out when I was 13. A year after we professed faith in Christ, short-term missionaries came to help us hand out tracts on the street. One of them was an American math teacher who returned the next summer when I was 14. Brian was 44, single, and very kind as he discipled the new believers. I hung on every word.
A relationship with God is much like a branch in a tree. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. A branch wouldn't bear fruit if it was cut loose from the vine. That's why it is essential to sign over ownership rights of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and abide in him day by day as you read the Word of God and obey it. So if you don't know what to do in a situation, read the Bible and ask God for wisdom. The Bible says, But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin.
How do we abide in Jesus?
Spend time with him daily through reading his Word and prayer. Read and memorize the Word of God. Then obey the things you learn. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 21, He that heareth my word and doeth it, he it is who loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him.
For four summers, Brian taught and discipled us. He lived at the ministry center with us, and I came to love his gentle ways as he tutored me in math and English and gave me piano lessons. Many Thai girls, including my unstable sister Pat, wanted to marry Brian, but he never encouraged them. I was 16 the last summer Brian came to Thailand. How I missed him when he left.
Yes, I miss him too.
Do you know what he said, Ma'a? He said, young women cannot know the intentions of men who want to court them.
Ah, that is true. I didn't know your father's intention when he paid attention to me at his sewing school.
Brian said a girl's father is her protection, and your father was far away.
And your father is dead.
So Brian told me to ask my brother-in-law, or I can ask our pastor and his wife if I have questions about a man. The same year that Brian left, my sister Kali and her husband moved back to America, leaving the ministry in the hands of Boon, a godly Thai woman, who tried to mentor me. However, Ma'a would not permit it. I had been out of school for over 3 years, and my future was bleak without an education. I began working odd jobs, saving my allowance so I could go to a government school on weekends. My brother Chai, meanwhile, slid into wickedness.
Chai did that to you?
Yes. He broke into the house while you were gone and took money. He slapped me around when I wouldn't give him my savings.
But I just gave him some money a few days ago.
Boon wasn't here or she would have stopped him.
Oh, Boon.
Don't give him money, Ma'a, please. He just uses it for drugs.
He's my son.
He's irresponsible. Boon says so too.
She doesn't know anything. He can't help himself, ma'am, ever since that girl broke his heart.
But that's no excuse. You should get a job and work hard like Ta. I slept with a knife under my pillow again, but my brother was not the only thorn in my side. My sister Pat sometimes lost her mind, spewing hateful words to Ma'a and me. Once she pushed me down a flight of stairs. Within a year, our family had slipped away from the faith, and I was exposing myself to danger by hanging out with some rebellious neighborhood kids whom I tutored in English. I was their leader, and I was going astray.
In a moment, we'll hear where that would lead Mem. Good news is hard to come by these days, but our monthly newsletter, the PGM News, is one source that won't disappoint you. And the best news is, it's completely free. Colorful and concise, this slim publication heralds the inside workings of Pacific Garden Mission, the various ministries, the people who serve the Lord here, and the people who come to know Him at the old lighthouse. Read about nearby communities that benefit from the Bread of Life ministry and Unshackled that reaches to the uttermost parts of the world with God's truth. It's all in the PGM News. And remember, it's free. Write and ask to begin your monthly subscription. The address is Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
Boone stood up for me against my brother Chai. She was meek and gentle, and I tried to emulate her, which angered Ma'a, who forbade me to have anything to do with her. I confided in Boone how my brother abused me, but when word leaked out to people in church, I became bitter toward her for breaking confidence. Thus, I lost the one good influence in my life, except for letters from Brian.
Temptation will come, ma'am, so stay in the Word. Remember the example of Jesus who, when the devil tempted him, kept saying, "It is written, it is written." God's Word is the believer's offensive weapon. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
The thoughts and intents of my heart became increasingly self-centered, and the slide was so gradual I hardly noticed. I still went to church, but I quit reading my Bible. Although I was in my late teens, I was still very small, yet I defiantly stood up to bullies. If anyone insulted me, I had my gang buddies to vandalize their property or rough them up. Nobody messed with me in our neighborhood. Then came another loss.
I am leaving the ministry center.
I wish you wouldn't go, Boone.
I cannot live with your family any longer. I had no idea how undisciplined everyone was. Your sister's bouts of madness, your brother's corruption, your mother's coldness toward me. This is not the way Christians should live.
Boone's departure stoked the emptiness in my heart. I would crawl under my bed, hiding from my brother, clinging to a picture of Brian, praying that God would send him back to us. But Brian stopped writing, and I stopped caring about life. I rode my bicycle in front of cars, daring them to hit me. My arrogance attracted the attention of Alec, a young man who often gazed at me in a quiet, frightening way. I asked my gang friends to teach him a lesson, but they refused because Alec was the chief drug dealer, as well as a kickboxing champion. One day, I grabbed Alec's shirt, brazenly challenging him.
I've had it with you! Every time I pass by, you're always staring at me, and I'm tired of it. Do you want to fight? Huh? Answer me!
Alec didn't say a word to me, nor did he show any emotion, so I walked away. But I noticed him wherever I went. He was never rude and rarely said a word, except once when I walked by with a boy who liked me. Softly but menacingly, Alec said, "She's my girl." I sailed through high school and graduated with my peers. Then I started college at the local university where I met Pa. She invited me to go with her and some friends to a local bar. I had to sneak out of the house.
Who is that man who is always watching you, ma'am?
That's Alec. He's my shadow. Always close by.
He's very good looking.
I'm kind of attracted to him in a strange way, but he scares me.
Oh, you're just not experienced. Ha.
I can handle any man, Pa.
You? You had never been to a bar until you met me. You still don't drink.
I try to sip on your beer, but it's revolting.
Then how do you expect to win a man?
I've already won, Alec. My friends were drunk when we left the bar at 4 a.m. Being sober, I saw them safely into a taxi and home because young women were often abducted and sold. When I returned home at dawn, I pretended that I had gone out for breakfast. I began wearing makeup and had my hair done. At the beauty salon, I was surprised to see Alak sitting there, staring at me. I was even more surprised to learn that he was the shop owner's brother. She was my friend, so Alak and I became acquainted. I told him about going out with my friends.
How many times have you been at that bar?
Twice.
You're lucky, especially as pretty as you are. I have friends who got huge payoff to take pretty girls to that bar. And when their guard was down, my friends would drug and kidnap them.
I don't drink.
Nevertheless, next time you go, I am going with you. Ma'am, don't come here anymore. You're not like these other girls. You only cheapen yourself and lower your value when you come to a place like this. Leave at once and don't come back.
But it's fun.
It won't be fun very long, trust me.
My relationship with Alak was ambivalent. I would simultaneously listen to him, as I did that night, yet I stubbornly maintained my own independence. At the same time, I was becoming increasingly infatuated with him. Yet my spirit was uneasy because he didn't go to church. Even though I had slipped away from my faith, I knew the truth of the gospel and urged Alak to go to church with me. He finally relented. Well, what did you think of your first church service?
I didn't like it.
I wish you would talk with the pastor. Perhaps he could help you understand.
I will never go back there again.
But Christ died for our sins, Alak. Without him, you are lost.
I will never be a Christian. Do you hear? Never!
That should have been enough for me. I knew the Bible's warning in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, that said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" But, like many others, I thought I knew better than God. After all, Alak treated me better than my own family, and his family seemed to love me. Lacking close fellowship with other believers, I began to confide in Alak.
Your brother beat you?
Yes. I am the youngest at home. Chai thinks he's superior.
Why doesn't your mother stop him?
Oh, if she tries, he pushes her aside, and my other brother, Ta, isn't home.
If you like, I can arrange to have him beaten up for you. For that matter, I will gladly beat him myself. Or if you like, I can arrange to have your brother assassinated, and no one would be able to trace it.
I couldn't allow that, in spite of how badly he treats me.
You certainly are different.
My friends say you're a drug dealer, Alak. Is it true? Answer me! Do you know how many people you are killing by doing what you're doing?
Will this calm you down? Here is more money than you have ever seen at one time. I made this money less than 2 hours ago. You can have it. Go out shopping, buy whatever you want.
You just answered me. Keep your dirty money. I don't want it.
You certainly are different from any girl I've met.
Don't you know you could go to jail? You could even get killed.
I never cared about my life until I met you, ma'am. Now, for the first time, I want to be better. I'm going to go back south. My brother's been taking care of my family's rubber plantation. It's hard work, but honest. Then I want us to be married.
Alak was true to his word and returned to his home in the south. After several weeks, I was desperate to get away from home when Chai returned and threatened me. I foolishly decided to visit Alak in the south, and I lied to my mother, saying I was going to a school camp. Then I bought a train ticket, called Alak, and asked him to get me a hotel room. He met me at the station. Alak drove me all around town on his motorcycle. He showed me the beach, the mountains, the waterfall, and coconut trees where monkeys played. But Alak's friends leered at me, following us to the hotel. In my hotel room, I resisted Alak's advances.
Then why did you come here?
I only came here to get away from my family for a while.
I know that Jesus doesn't want me to be here with you. And he doesn't even want me to have a relationship with you since you vowed you will never be a Christian.
Ma'am.
I've rebelled against God. But even though I've been disobedient, I know he still loves me and is right here in this room with me. Please don't disgrace me and my family. At least wait until we're married.
You mean to say you've never been with a man before?
No. I just needed to get away from home.
As tough as you act, I thought you were experienced and came here to sleep with me.
No. I just needed to get away from home.
You say your God is here in this room with you. Well, I have a spirit too that's been with me all my life, and I pray to him that I would become your lover tonight.
I also pray that Jesus will protect me.
I'll put you on a train in the morning.
Aren't you going to stay outside my room tonight to protect me?
You have better protection than I have.
As I rode the train back to Bangkok the next day, I thought of how God's grace and love had protected me again despite my unfaithfulness to his word. Unknown to me, someone I didn't even know had been faithfully praying for my protection since before I was born. But Alak was not out of my life yet and had devised a sinister plan to get me back, as I was soon to discover.
We'll hear about that in the conclusion of Mem's story next week. Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Whatever you've done, be assured that Jesus can and wants to save you. He turns no repentant person away. If you would like to know the joy of salvation, of knowing that you will go to heaven when you die, pray with us now. Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I believe he rose from the dead and lives to save me now. I repent of my sins against you. Save me, Lord. Come into my life and change me. Make me like you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for the gift of forgiveness and eternal life with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us know you prayed, and we'll send you some literature to help you walk in faith. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. This is program number 3197. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Hearing from you means more than you know, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.